And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, the ghost is back. This house is protected through Progressive, but that doesn't mean it's not haunted. How else would you explain that radiator-like clanking sound? Or the moon-colored light in the hallway that's gone by morning? Maybe he never bundled home and auto, and he's doomed to suffer an eternity without the savings.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
What was that wind-like sound? Oh, right, the wind.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Score on your mobile device, your laptop, your desktop, whatever you stream us on. We've got Chicago sports fans covered. The Score is Chicago's first and number one sports talk station. We're live from Chicago and dedicated to the Chicago sports fan. It's what's driven us for over 25 years now. But we couldn't have done it without you, the loyal Score listener. Thanks for listening to Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. 7th at 7 p.m.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Jim Hickey.
Jimmy's a unique personality, man. He is a cowboy. He's a fisherman. He's a hunter.
Cubs pitching coach.
Jimmy Hickey, because of his reputation throughout baseball, I think it's a very good fit for the Cubs.
Chicago born and raised.
Fly from Chicago, IL.
Jim Hickey with Mully and Hanley every Wednesday morning on 670 The Score.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And we're delighted to welcome in the Cubs pitching coach. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Hey, Jim.
Good morning to you guys. I'm doing just fine. I'm a little bit sleep deprived, but I'll get over it.
Do you like your manager calling you a cowboy? Do you feel that you're a cowboy?
I haven't ridden a horse in quite some time, but I guess there's worse things to be called than a cowboy.
Yeah. But do you have a 10-gallon hat?
I got about a 6-gallon hat, not a 10-gallon.
Well, you're wearing a white hat as far as we're concerned, and I guess we look at the start to the season, and we get a very interesting group of performances. Playing a 17-inning game will kind of throw a little spanner in the works. What is your take on that kind of a game this early in the season? I mean, it really does kind of eat up your bullpen a bit.
Well, you know, we never like to play extra innings, period, let alone, you know, virtually a doubleheader at the very beginning of the season. And it put us in a really bad spot in terms of the bullpen. And I don't know where we would be without Eddie Butler stepping in there and throwing 7 innings and 7 extremely effective innings at bat. Actually, yesterday we were in pretty good shape, but with the rain out and then today being off, tomorrow starting in Milwaukee, we should be back to 100% down there in the bullpen.
On opening day, Jim, I was there. John Lester was very honest about his outing. He was very disappointed in his outing. As a veteran, as a guy who knows what he did wrong, knows what he has to work on, knows what his velocity was, how do you approach that from a pitching coach perspective going into this next start, and what was your reaction to opening day?
Well, my reaction to opening day was I was just a little bit surprised at how much respect, if you will, that he gave those hitters. You know, he's a guy that really never likes to give in, but he just played on the edges too much, in my opinion, and then he got behind in the count, and he continued to just be on the edges, and that's what ran the pitch count up. You know, and then, of course, a couple of timely hits on their part as well. But I would expect to see him basically remedy that situation, and you'd see his approach be a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more in the strike zone here in his next start in Milwaukee.
You know, when we talk about your pitching staff, it seems as if the expectations are different depending on the player, and that's not unusual. And a guy like Darvish comes in, and the expectations are through the roof for him. Does it become a matter of getting a good pitching performance? Does it get to a guy if he's not meeting expectations? Is it fair to start applying all of our expectations as early in the season as we do?
Well, I mean, I guess it's probably fair based upon his track record. Darvish's in particular, he's been a pretty good pitcher for a long time. So you would expect him to continue to, you know, to be a good pitcher. And obviously, I expect him to pitch considerably better than he did on the first time out. But, you know, when you're talking about pitching any one particular game, it's very hard to just, you know, say, oh, you know, you can tell if he performed well or if he didn't at the end of the day. But so many things go into that besides how he threw the ball, you know, the way that the breaks that he got behind him, the way that the defense played behind him, you know, if in fact maybe they caught a line drive or two or a couple of balls blooped in. But I think that if you asked you, he would be also disappointed in his first performance and expect to do better overall. And I think actually, you know, the three performances that we got that you might consider subpar, I think that those all were a result of just nitpicking a little bit too much. You know, and so all these guys are pretty much in the same boat, and that's the bad news. But the good news is that's very easily fixable.
You look at Tyler Chatwood's start in Cincinnati, and I think there's a lot to like and a lot to build on. Six walks, obviously, you know, that was something that stood out. But overall, Jim, I wonder how you critiqued his performance, because he being a new guy, kind of a new team, there had to be a little bit of anxiety he had to process, but it looked like he did that pretty well.
You hit the nail right on the head. There's a lot to like there. There's a real lot to like there. And certainly you can't eliminate the six walks, but I mean, if you could just take those six walks out of the picture, this guy would have been pitching, you know, one of the best games I've ever seen. You know, that being said, that's kind of silly. He certainly needs to clean up his strike zone act a little bit as well, but there is so much to like there. The ability to get quick outs, the ability to limit that hard contact. He's got a true four and five pitch mix. And I actually think that, you know, he can probably go ahead and use that a little bit better too, you know, just kind of deploy those weapons in a little bit more of an efficient fashion. And I think you're going to see a really good pitcher in this guy when it's all said and done.
Yeah, you know, understandably, I suppose we look at where your team is at, and we talk about the, you know, the lack of run production and getting shut out in a couple of games. And whenever we talk to pitching coaches about that issue, everyone says, hey, that has nothing to do. The run support is not an issue. You just do your job. You don't worry about it. But I think it takes a toll. I think it's tough for people when they don't feel like they're getting the run support. You know, you're looking up at the scoreboard, you give up a run, and that could be the game. Is that just a flukish start to the season? Is that something that eventually weighs on a team? How do you handle that with your guys?
Well, I think it eventually would weigh on the team or on the pitchers in particular, but you're talking about only five ball games so far. You know, if we're looking in the rearview mirror and this is the same scenario a month from now, then I would think it certainly would take a toll, but I don't think it has right now at all. And as we all know, this team can score runs. And with teams that score runs the way that we do, you know, they come in bunches. And when we get hot, it's going to be very, very hot. And, you know, when you get cold, you're going to have these streaks. But, you know, five games, I don't think it's really going to take a toll on the pitchers. You know, five times through the rotation, if we're doing the same type of thing, which I would be very surprised if that were the case, you know, then maybe it's a conversation that you have to have. But I'm pretty comfortable with that lineup and the fact that they're going to put some runs on the board.
Big series in Milwaukee, and then you come home for the home opener at Wrigley Field. A lot of anticipation over that, Jim. Doesn't look like weather-wise it's going to be ideal. It's going to be April in Chicago, which can mean, you know, 30-degree temperatures, brisk winds, and conditions that aren't favorable to pitchers. Is it just a matter, you know, fans would like to say, and you look at other sports, oh, mind over matter. It's something you had to deal with. Does it affect your evaluation process? Does it affect the way that you look at a pitcher and how long you might go with him, or just the overall kind of you know, game situation? You might act differently because of the weather?
I don't really think it matters how you handle the pitcher. I don't think you take a guy out any sooner or you leave a guy in any longer because it's a considerably colder, or, you know, maybe if it's hotter, you do look at taking somebody out a little bit earlier. But, you know, we don't like to play in the cold. Nobody likes to play in the cold, but the hitters in particular don't like to hit in the cold. So, you know, I just try to encourage us to take advantage of that. You know, you get inside on a couple of guys and you sting a couple of people's hands early, and it puts a really, really bad taste in their mouth. But I really don't think there's anything in terms of evaluating a pitcher or maybe deciding when to take him out of the ballgame that the cold would really be much of a factor in. Just, you know, perhaps you had somebody who, you know, was born and raised and lived their whole entire life in Hawaii, and this was their first time in Chicago. You might take a different look at it, but I don't think that's the case with any of our guys.
You know, what's really interesting is to look at a guy like Quintana and to go through – was he pitching a no-hitter through four or something like that?
Yeah.
And then the wheels came off through five. And then the wheels came off with one really bad inning. And, you know, there, Rizzo, there was a ball that went under his glove. I mean, stuff happens. But, you know, you looked at what might have been a good performance, and you look back on it and you think, oh, what went wrong there? And it all ganged up on him.
Well, this is kind of what I was alluding to earlier. It's very difficult to, you know, say that he performed well or he didn't perform well. You know, just based upon looking at that line, and actually, even though Quintana had a no-hitter going into the fifth inning, you know, I didn't think that he had pitched particularly well. He was also guilty of being a little bit too conservative, you know, just not giving these guys anything to hit at all, and he ran his pitch count up, and he was in jeopardy of not making it through, or at least making it through that fifth inning and not going into the sixth inning because of the pitch count as well, even though he did have a no-hitter. So there's a lot of things, you know, beneath the surface that are very, very encouraging in all five of those starts. And I, you know, that's the good news. I think that every one of those guys can perform considerably better. And when I'm talking about considerably better, I'm talking about a lot better, you know. Really improved.
You started the conversation talking about Eddie Butler. I mean, that 17-inning game, he was outstanding. Just wondered, what was your level of surprise and what is his role going forward? Because this is not a guy you expected to be maybe standing out this early.
Well, I didn't probably expect 7 shutout innings, although he ended up eventually giving up a run. But it really didn't surprise me all that much. Eddie got really, really good stuff. The thing that surprised me more so was the way that he went through that lineup, how efficient he was. I believe he ended up throwing 90 pitches, 92 pitches, something like that. And also just his ability to take the ball and go out there for 7 different innings, because in spring training, you know, he did make it through 5 innings, but that was the most. And that was, you know, it was just a little bit unexpected. You never expect any relief pitcher to have to pitch 7 innings. But I think that was the biggest surprise there, not the way that he performed, just the way that he was able to give us that length.
Great stuff, Jim. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you. Good luck.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.
That's Jim Hickey, the Cubs pitching coach, and we will be talking to him every week.
Very solid.
Oh,
good,
my gosh.
Good, quick analysis. Yeah, nice. He's
not remotely grumpy. Not grumpy at all. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Hi, it's Pat Hughes.
And Ron Coomer here.
This is your chance to qualify for the Old Dominion Freight Line Cubs season tickets giveaway from 670 The Score.
So stop what you're doing and be the sixth caller right now at 312-591-6700.
Good luck and hope to see you at Wrigley.
So working from home is kind of my thing. We're talking rolling out of bed and hopping onto a conference call about another conference call I took yesterday in my bathrobe. You won't find me stuck in traffic on Lakeshore or crammed on the L. But you might find me video conferencing with New York in a cleanly pressed shirt and my boxers. And since I switched to AT&T Unlimited, I get reliable home internet on them. So my wireless plan helps me be more productive at work, even when I'm technically at home and likely pantsless.
Switch to AT&T Unlimited, get free home internet. More for your thing. That's our thing.
Limited Chicago offer. Requires port in to Unlimited Plus Enhanced starting $90 per month. May experience slower wireless speeds after 22 gigabytes per line per month. Qualifying internet free after bill credit starting within 2 bills. Up to $99 install or activation fee. Taxes, charges, and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Thanks for streaming The Score. We are Chicago's original and number one sports station. And of course, your official radio home of the Chicago Cubs, where in 2018, you'll hear Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer deliver more of this.
Between a line drive down the left field line. Base hit. Cubs win. Anthony Rizzo with a game winner. High fly ball, deep right field. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. Kyle Schwarber's second home run of the game.
Bryant fly to center his first time. Drives one in the air, deep left field, down the line. If it's fair, it's long gone. That ball is a fair ball. Home run. Russell drives one in the air to left field. If it's fair, it's going to leave the yard. That ball is a three-run homer. Addison Russell with a three-run home run.
Hear every Cubs game, spring training through the postseason, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
And real estate donations. Dustin here, and I'm going to tell you how to get a career in under a year. So many are getting in while the wave is hot. Real career opportunities without the lengthy 2 and 4 year schools. With Illinois Media School's accelerated media program, you can train for relevant in-demand careers and graduate in as little as 8 months. Media platforms are booming. Social media, YouTube, on-air performance, video and audio editing, production, camera and control room operations. Or if you're into sports, why not make it a career in play-by-play and sports commentating, sports live broadcast, sports talk show host, and so much more. That's what the Illinois Media School has done for more than 30 years. Be taught by real industry pros and a staff that dedicates themselves to placing more people in media careers than anyone. Call now, tell them Dustin sent you, and get an orientation just for calling. Don't wait. Get that career in under a year. Train in just months, not years. Flexible hours and financial aid available for those of you who qualify. Call the Illinois Media School. Do it right now, 630-916-1700, 630-916-1700. That's 630-916-1700.
Thanks for streaming The Score. The new McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
We're talking to Lucas Giolito here on The Score. I'm curious, just back to baseball for a minute, who would you compare yourself to, whether it was because you loved him growing up or your style? Like, who's Lucas Giolito's comp for Lucas Giolito?
The type of pitches I throw, the type of pitcher I am, it's kind of evolved over the past few years. I'd say growing up, I really liked watching Justin Verlander pitch. I think it would be cool to match up against him this year. Dominant stuff, dominant attitude. I'd say that's one of the closer ones. Hopefully I could have a career like that. That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be okay.
That'd be pretty nice.
We'd accept that.
Mac is back, joining Danny Parkins on your ride home. 1 to 6, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Granger. For the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Chicago's original sports talk station. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
This segment of the show is brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score, free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app. Do it today. Credit Karma. Get knowing.
Molly and Hanley, want to thank everyone for calling, texting, emailing, the wonderful ways you have to get a hold of us, and most of all, thank you for listening. David, always a joy. We'll see
thank
you back
you.
Early tomorrow. Thank
More
you,
hot
pal.
Takes.
We've got Ray we should thank, and Kevbo, and Dustin. These are our, the heart and soul of... really. Yes. What is that from, Kevbo?
That is the call from Japan of Shohei Ohtani's first home run last night.
Oh, there you go.
History. We're international here on the program.
I'm being trolled by Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm being trolled.
And we have the gentlemen here are here.
Hello.
And that's Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Why are you being trolled?
Because here's the thing. When in spring training, and this is, and of course, I'm the guy who says ignore everything you see in spring training. When his velocity was down and he was having some bad at-bats, I admit that I...
Wrote him off?
Not that I wrote him off. It's just that I root for... Major League Baseball to always prove how difficult it is. I hate the idea of, ooh, the next phenom is coming and the game's going to be easy for him, because I like when baseball, when Major League Baseball delivers the reminder of no.
So his success you take as a personal affront.
It's getting, you know how radio
but
is?
But you're like, not the only one that
is
people...
It, did the Ramblers do that to you too,
it's supposed to be hard. You're not supposed to be like, oh, the new two-way player.
He's a baseball player.
I know he is.
It's not like he just came in without...
But he did look like a guy struggling in spring training, though.
Yes.
He looked overmatched.
With velocity
at times.
Down. Yeah. And a medical report that said your elbow's not great.
And how many, do you remember when Godzilla was coming? Ooh, wait till you see Godzilla.
Hideki Matsui. Yeah.
Sure. What the Cubs with the full Fukudome ridiculousness. Remember how dumb that was?
A legend is born into the wind at Wrigley Field. What was Musburger's call on that home run?
The racist headbands.
Yeah, that had the wrong language on it.
All of it. It was just so ridiculous.
And the all-star appearance.
How about Daisuke Matsuzaka? Remember the grainy film of the gyro ball? The secret exotic dragon pitch?
What about,
come on.
What about Shingo?
Yeah, the frisbee, right?
I still miss his smile.
We were debating whether or not Ohtani has the most Japanese swing of all time, because you had the
Ichiro's pretty much
the tennis backhand,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the right, for me, the right-handed Japanese swing standard would be Tadahito Iguchi. The sort of the lean back, the close. High finish.
That's very close. Has Matsui had
he was a great Philly.
Kenny did so much film work.
Yeah.
Never saw him play. So much film work.
No one could break down the tape like he can.
No.
So
no,
but Dan, it is only one.